Welcome to Share Truth, Apply Scripture. I'm Jordan Shambly, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Cedra Sarton.
No matter what you do, you can't get rid of me.
I've tried. I've really tried.
Thanks.
No, I haven't. No, Thank because you. If I do, then I'm going to do this by myself, and that's no fun for anybody.
I'm sure they'll find you another co-host.
I don't know if I would.
They may not be as fun as me, but there'd be somebody.
Right. Sure. Okay.
Somebody with a cool voice.
It wouldn't be the same. You know, like we got our groove going here. We know what we do, you know. We know how to bounce off and stuff. So like this is how it needs to be.
All right.
That's
I'll take
how
it.
I feel. All right. So we're bringing a subject that I thought was really, really good. This is Cedra's idea to talk about. But it's very pertinent, I think, for I say it's really, really good for now, like these days, you know, but really it's been going on a long time that this would be a good topic to talk about, how social media affects news coverage or how we see the world, you know, when it comes to things that are happening in the world. And, you know, if you've been listening for a while, you know that Share Truth Plus Scripture, we try to talk about subjects that relate to being a Christian when you're about, you know, 18 to about mid-30s, that kind of age range. Young Christian is what we call that.
Yeah.
So this really affects
everybody.
This really affects everybody, both, and I think in different ways too. So people who are really adept at using social media that might have a certain perspective on this matter, but also people who don't know how to use social media. There's like two different things going on here.
We, you know, there was a time where you relied on certain people.
Yes.
To tell you information, to give you the news.
Right.
You know, going back from TV, back to radio, back to just papers.
Yeah.
You know, and so forth. And it was the people that had, which the people with the money is not on that, but you had to have like actually funded, you know, news people who are, you know, researched and informed.
Right.
Not always, you know. But
well, you would hope that they were being as objective as possible.
Yeah, but I mean, not saying the system was perfect, but it cleared out a lot of the clutter when it comes to news coverage.
Yeah.
Now, everybody that's got one of these phone things in their pocket is a reporter.
Yes.
Because and that's the thing. Like, right. I have my phone here. Mm-hmm. I have apps. I have social media. I can post videos to whatever website. Mm-hmm. I think TikTok is a notorious one. We know.
Oh, yes.
Where people are posting, you know, and then it gets shared. Mm-hmm. And people post things with zero actual research. They just heard, and it's a lot of emotional based. Yeah. So I don't have to wait until I've calmed down and become rational and really thought things through.
Right.
Something is making me mad, and I just get on my phone and I make a video, and it's emotional, and I put it out there, and other people feel that emotion, and it's instantly, you can share it quickly without thinking it through.
And that's I think that's the primary way that social media has changed the way news spreads. Because, you know, going back to the good old days, I know we still have TV and paper, but that's not the main source of news anymore. Going back to the good old days where you'd wake up in the morning, you'd go out to the front porch and you'd grab the paper off the ground. You'd open it up and you see what happened yesterday or last week. And then for the rest of the day, you might listen to the news on the radio, maybe. You go to work or you visit with your friends. You have those discussions. Hey, I read this happened. And what do we feel about that? What do we think about that? And then the next day you get the next paper, and it's the next part of the story. You didn't have an endless stream of narrative coming at you. Whether that narrative was objective or not, you didn't have this refresh the page, get the absolute latest little bit of information.
It's the moment something happens, the information is out there.
Yeah, and you really didn't, unless it was, I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of somebody who lived back in the 80s, 70s, 60s.
I know, because there's a lot of people listening right now. They're like, hey, hey, hey.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, we're internet natives, right? I mean, like, we remember dial-up, but yeah. We don't really remember a time before the internet.
I don't.
I mean, I don't at all.
I mean, I remember before it was just constantly
before,
there with you.
Before it was just like a daily companion, yeah, and certainly before my parents had it in the home.
There was a computer room.
Yeah, there was a computer room.
There was a computer room. There, a desk with the old computer.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't old, but it seems like it now. Yeah. And you would go when you were thinking, like, I want to get online. You have to go in. You have to start it dialing up. You have to go out and yell at your sister to get off the phone so you can dial up, mm-hmm. go back in there and try again. Mm-hmm. Then you go like about your daily task while you wait on it.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a minute.
Oh, and forget about watching videos online.
Oh, absolutely not.
There's no way. Start that thing buffering in the morning or whatever. We call it just loading back then.
Yeah,
start it loading in the morning, and maybe towards the evening you can watch the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, I get off the school bus, run in the house, and try to watch that video I've been waiting all day on, only to find that it never did what it was supposed to.
Exactly. Because somebody had to make a phone call. But yeah, you didn't have that constant stream of information where it was always prompting you to check it, to have a thought about it, to obsess over it, and to get super emotionally invested mm-hmm. in this thing that really, I mean, depending on what it is, but really at the end of the day, doesn't have much to do with you. You know, it doesn't really have much to do with you, the life you're living, or the place that you're living in and people you know. Like, usually these things are happening to other people far away from you. Not that we shouldn't be concerned.
No,
but
and
there
we've
are
stated
things,
that before.
Yes, yes.
We do believe that you should be informed of what's going on.
Absolutely.
But truly informed.
But I think when we think about the news cycle, obviously there are the big hot button topics. You have what's happening in Israel right now is huge. You have all the political stuff, the election stuff that's going on. But then you also have, hey, this celebrity did something to this other celebrity. And you should care about it. And it's like, okay, well, maybe it could be a good prompting to pray for somebody who really needs the Lord. But to then go about your day and that's where your mind is and that's what you're dwelling on and this uh-huh. is what you're obsessing over. And then you're having fights with people online about this. This is not the way we're supposed to live, people.
No. Taking the information that you see without – and just going with it.
Yes.
And just rolling with it. And people do. Like, they hear things and they're shocked.
Yeah.
And so you go on your internet browser, whatever you use.
Mm-hmm.
Please say it's Google. Anyways, get on your browser and type in this information and uh-huh. search, and you'll see more things. And just, I mean, please do some reading. And then you'll notice that there are lots of different points.
Mm-hmm.
Thing, you know, and it's not consistent, and then it's like, who's telling the truth?
Well, that's a good point too. And I think to this next point here on our point list that you brought,
very short.
No, it's really great.
Okay.
The negatives and positives of social media when it comes to news stories. I think that actually is probably a positive and a strength, because when it comes to what's going on in the world, when it comes to news stories, you do want multiple opinions. You do mm-hmm. want multiple perspectives, because at the end of the day, what is news but someone's opinion on what happened? They can be as objective as they want to be, but in the end of the day, you're still filtering it from somebody's perspective and a human brain that's putting this story together. So you until we have, and I think many people would not want this because, and for legitimate reasons, but until we have some sort of computer out there just observing everything and putting together just mathematical news stories that have nothing but the absolute mathematical facts, which I don't want that, and I don't think that it would be a good thing, but we can't have truly objective.
Like, that's why I'm so.
That's
look,
a different discussion for another time.
So I always say thank you and please to Alexa, because when they take over, I want them to remember I was nice.
Right, right. Well, but that's the thing is, like, one of the positives I would say about everyone being able to contribute to the conversation around the news, the positive is you do get multiple perspectives. So there will be facts that are undeniable. Like, say someone gets murdered. They're dead. You can't argue with the fact. And this person seems to have done it. Okay, there are facts that you can't argue with, but then there's the peripheral around this story where people are having arguments about, say, and this is a completely made-up story, but motive or, like, you know, circumstances or did someone deserve it even? You know, there are going to be arguments around there that are different perspectives on what happened. That's where you're going to get into the messy stuff.
Yeah.
And you're going to have that anyway, no matter where you get your news from.
Yeah. I think we were talking a lot about big news, like world news.
Yeah.
When this plan for this show came up.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, if you look at even small things.
Yeah.
Okay. So I think I told you about this, but I saw a video, someone posted calling out somebody's behavior. Mm. But it's just a short clip.
Yeah.
So it was, and I'll go ahead and say what it was. It was mm-hmm. a man who was talking about the dangers, like, of just letting your child go in the bathroom. He was trying to let his young daughter go to the bathroom.
Mm.
He opened the door. There was a man in there. It was a short clip, and it was painting the man in the bathroom as the bad guy. Now,
right.
I think he is more than right.
Yeah.
If you're taking your kid to the bathroom, be aware, because there are creeps who will do what this man is claiming that man was doing.
Yeah.
But you have a short clip,
mm-hmm.
and you have a man who possibly just walked in the wrong bathroom, because I've done it before. I've walked into the wrong bathroom. I've walked into saw a man looking at me at the sink, and I'm
usually you're quickly corrected when that happens.
But, like, if you're not, or if there was something, like, for all we know, as the audience, there was something wrong with the man's bathroom, and this is like a truck stop bathroom.
Who knows the situation was.
Who knows what it was. Now, the guy could have been a creep.
I mean, and that's entirely possible.
But the point is we have a generation that takes a short clip,
yep.
passes judgment. Now, this man's face is posted everywhere as the creep, which he could be.
He could be, but
he also could be a confused man who went to the wrong bathroom, or
an
the other bathroom.
Who was trying to take care of an issue.
Yeah, he could have been.
Who knows what the story was? But now, the indelible mark of the internet is on his life, and he is forever that guy who was in the girl's bathroom.
Now, he could have been that guy,
and he could have been that guy.
And if he's that guy, straight to jail. Under the jail.
But if he wasn't that guy, it's a really sad thing.
Now, I will take the man who shot the video, I will take his point that he made a good point about being aware of your surroundings and watching out for your children.
Yeah.
And not just letting your, like, if, like, him as a dad with his daughter, not just letting her go into the bathroom alone without, you know, checking out the situation.
Yeah.
That means he's a man who has to stick his head in the women's bathroom, but his daughter's safety is on the line. And I think that trumps, like,
yeah, that's right.
Everything. And so, and he caught a potential danger.
Mm-hmm.
But we, as the internet, all we see is that short clip and it gets shared around, and that's all the information you have.
Right.
So what I'm saying is like, yes, that clip and the information you get from that person could be true, but it is your job.
Mm.
If you're watching it and want to pass judgment, to get the full story.
Yeah, if you're going to be involved in the story at all, which, you know, you could argue whether or not you're that would be even a good thing. At least the people in the video deserve for you to find out the truth, if at all possible. And honestly, if you can't find out the truth, leave the story alone. You know, don't contribute to inflammatory stories online that are murky and honestly, at the end of the day, they don't really contribute much to society other than maybe in this case, and I think just a good conversation about safety, but unfortunately, possibly at the cost of someone's reputation that might not deserve all that heat. If nothing, you know, the internet is just a messy, messy place, and it's getting more and more so, or maybe I'm just becoming more and more aware of it. We talk on the notes here about viral videos and, you know, my generation, your generation, I mean, our generation, we know what that means.
We had viral videos. We had the first viral
videos. Do you remember when viral video just meant like 10,000 people watched it?
Yeah. And then you go back. Here's the thing. The videos that I remember from when YouTube first became a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like way back. I say way back when. There are people older than us that are like, hey, you know. It's kind of like when you see a kid who doesn't know what a cassette tape is, and they're like, what is that? And you're just like, oh, I'm going to go cry
it's
now.
It's a very special thing that you rewind with pencils.
So, like, I've Like, I brought up a video that I remember from when I was, like, a teenager. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that was so funny. Everybody knew that one. And this person I was talking to, they're like, I don't think everybody did.
Yeah.
And I went back and looked, and it's got a lot more views now. But I looked it up, and they're like, back then it was, like, only really, it's pretty much my county. Like, the kids in my school, we passed it around. But when they mean viral video now.
Oh, it's insane.
Millions.
It means, oh my goodness, multiple millions of people seeing a video. And look, I like the viral videos that are just funny. There are things that you just have a chuckle and then
funny but not at someone else's expense.
Sure,
unless they're in on the joke and they think it's funny too.
In some cases this okay. So like viral videos, I think, you know, they are an interesting force on the internet because of, I think, their destructive tendencies sometimes, though.
Exactly.
And like you said about this guy, you know, who knows what the story was. And obviously, there have been examples many times of something going viral and just ruining someone's life and they didn't really deserve it. I mean, there are things that happen on the internet at all. But when it comes to the news specifically, where you have I'm sure people have watched, you know, Fox News or whatever you watch, and a viral video comes up and they're talking about this video was posted online and these many people have shared it and all this stuff. And here in the video, someone blames someone else for doing something really horrible, but it conveniently doesn't show it or something like that.
Yeah.
But it might be like a politically charged statement or something divisive. That is incredibly is frightening to me because you have millions and millions and millions of people taking something that is sort of a powder keg of a topic and just going crazy with it and what it is at the end of the day is you've taken a glimpse into someone's private life that doesn't have anything to do with you, and then this has become a force in the internet of dividing people and making people angry and, you know, throwing hateful language at each other and just unnecessary conflict, I guess I'm trying to say.
There's no context either. You know, it's kind of like, you know, as a Christian, I get really, I mean, it just, you know, irks me when people take a single verse and build some kind of narrative off of it. And I'm like, but if you read everything before and after that verse, kind of breaks apart your entire argument. It's the same way with news. You got people taking these short clips of less than a minute and they build this whole story off of it. But that's all you see. And people just run with it. And today, we live in the world of deep fakes.
Oh, we're too. Opening that. Yeah.
We are.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
I'm
yeah.
saying, like,
this is good, though.
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
Today, in today's world, they can make a video of a person saying something and it not be real.
Yep.
And there are people, you know, there are ones who are using that as scams.
Yeah.
Have you seen the, where a lot of, like, there are parents who would say they, or somebody, they'll be like, they got a call from their child, their teenager, or their, even their adult child, panicking.
Yeah, asking for money or asking for help or something like that. Mm-hmm.
And then they actually call their child's number and they don't know what, they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Or they'll get one saying, you know, their kid's been kidnapped.
Yeah.
And it's a scam. Yep. And it's not actually them, but they've recreated their child, their son or daughter's voice.
That's scary.
And so you translate that kind of technology to these short videos that get posted online on social media and get circulated, become viral.
Yeah.
And then you have a lot of people sharing this video that's not even real.
Right. And this is where I see, this is sort of a depressing thing in a little way, but I see a small glimmer of hope.
Okay.
For the younger generation.
Yeah.
Because of just how cynical they are. Now, I will agree there are plenty of young people, and I know a lot of them, who are very gullible and will just believe anything certain people tell them. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, they don't believe everything that they see and hear on the internet. And I think, honestly, this may have started a bit more with our generation, the millennials, mm-hmm. because we grew up watching TV. We grew up on the internet watching TV. We know an ad when we see one. When we see one, we know, okay, that's an actor. That's a paid actor. This is not a real person. What they're saying to me is they want me to do something, and we have a resistance to that. Hopefully, we have a resistance to that. And I feel like as things like deep fakes become more commonplace, people, especially young people, are going to just, I hope, and I really think I'm seeing this more and more, just doubt everything that they see presented to them and take everything with a grain of salt. Not that they will then come to right conclusions about things. I'm not saying that at all. I don't think this is going to be some sort of, you know, oh, the next generation is going to have everything right. But at least I feel like there's going to be a cynicism towards you know, the videos that they see. Is this really the whole picture? Mm-hmm. Or and this might get better as they get older and they develop more emotional toughness, I guess, because, you know, if somebody can get you with that emotional hook, then you just believe everything they say. But the harder it is to get you with that hook, the less you're going to believe everything that you see. I mean, and I think an example of this too is if you look at the statistics of people who get taken advantage of over the phone with mm-hmm. scams, usually those are older people. And because they lived in a generation where if someone calls you, you answer the phone and you engage them in a conversation.
Our generation is getting more along the lines of, if I don't know that number, I'm not picking it up.
I guarantee you, if you are not in my mother, contacts, I will not answer the phone.
See, the thing is, my mom, she don't know that number. She's not answering.
And you know what? And I think there's probably a lot of people listening to this being like, wow, that is so rude. But honestly, this is just the reality we're living in. I answer the phone.
That's not rude to me.
No, it's not. If I answer the phone and if I see a call and it's a number that I don't recognize, I answer the phone. One of two things is happening. It's either a wrong number, somebody just misdialed the number, and I just say, hey, it's a wrong number.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody trying to sell me something, or it's like a weird, hey, this is the IRS, and it totally isn't.
But
this is the IRS. You made a mistake on your taxes. You're about to get arrested unless you do this thing. I've gotten those before. So one of those things happens way more than the other, and it's the scam.
The older generations didn't grow up with this, with some of this technology, which they had phones, but some of the, some of the things that we have
usually
now,
the only people that you could call for free are people in your area.
You're talking about like the younger generations being more skeptical of what they mm-hmm. see online, and the new generations are the ones who you see their adult kids in the comments going, Mom, this celebrity is not giving you $1,000. Their name is misspelled. Their name is misspelled on the page. It is obviously not them. You know, and they're, mm-hmm. Because it's just, they didn't grow up with that technology. It's
And I think it would be wise for people who want to be better, this is funny, better citizens of the internet, I guess.
Yeah.
To learn how to have healthy cynicism towards everything that you see there.
I don't want the younger generations walking around with just this negative mind frame where they don't want to believe anything. But I do hope that they see things and it drives them to want to research mm-hmm. and to really know what's going on.
Yeah.
Not just take one video clip and run with that.
Right.
So you see it and you're like, you question it. It's the same way as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear someone making statements about Christianity and about the Bible, I don't want you to just take what I say and run with it.
Right.
I want you to go to the scriptures and research. And I want it to be the same way either way.
Yeah.
In whatever part of life. If it's the news that you see being presented to you online, or if someone posts like a statement on scripture, same way.
Yeah.
Apply the principle to both ways.
And you know what? I think that's a fantastic argument in favor of, or at least a fantastic argument that social media, when it comes to the news, has tremendous positive power.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't have this thing, what you would have instead are news agencies that are paid for by people with agendas.
And then it's just their agendas.
And then it's just
pushed,
their agendas
which we
being
see.
Pushed.
But, we see all over the place.
Mm-hmm. But now, because we have social media, And it's not perfect by any means, because social media platforms have their own agendas, and that's a whole other issue.
I'll go ahead and make this statement real quick. Anything that has human hands on it will not be perfect.
That's the and I think that's a great, that's an excellent point, and absolutely something to keep in mind. Because no matter what social media platform you're using, there's always an agenda, and they will filter things. But at the very least, we are far closer to a democratized news source than we would be otherwise, where it's better to have a million individual spins on a story rather than only three.
Yeah.
Because if you know, you want as many different perspectives on something as possible so that you can have a balanced view, and so that a more fair way of looking at stories can happen there, as opposed to three news outlets that each have their own bent and their own agenda and a lot of reason why they would want, you know, certain political parties to be, you know, in power or certain individuals to be in power, things like that. I mean, there's a reason why China has its own official news source that's paid for by the government. You know, there's a reason for that, and we do not want that. The opposite of that is everyone in, you know, everyone, citizen being a reporter. And I feel like we are as close to that as we could possibly be.
And the thing, I think the thing that we want everybody listening to know is that we want you to look at everything through the lens of the Bible.
Absolutely.
The lens of Christ. So whatever you're seeing on the news and on TV, whatever you're seeing on that social media app that you scroll through at night before you go to bed.
Yeah, we know you know do it.
Yeah.
We know you do it.
Because we do it too sometimes. Yes, we do. We want you to look at everything you see through the lens of Scripture.
Yeah.
So whatever you're seeing, if you're, and maybe... maybe the lesson here is you need to delete that out.
Yeah.
And take a break.
To be honest. Yeah.
But take time, pray, read the word. And so whenever you're presented with these ideas, you'll be ready to discuss it.
Yes, yes. And so that you will have a truthful reaction to news rather than just a knee-jerk emotional reaction. Well, thanks for listening, guys. And we hope you continue to share truth and apply Scripture. Until next episode.